customary to give a brief homily on Good Friday. Brief is not my forte, but I will endeavor my very best to give just a few brief words. Why are you not in church right now? After all, it's Good Friday. Shouldn't we all be here gathered together? Right? It's an obvious question. You're not here right now because you're in isolation at home, because as we all have stated at least 1,000 times to ourselves and in every media outlet that we've read and all the conversations we've had over the last 3 months, you're not here right now because we're in the midst of a pandemic. But a pandemic is not actually why we're here, why we celebrate Good Friday. Pandemic is a great evil. It's an evil like a typhoon or a hurricane or a tornado, an earthquake, a fire. You are not in church right now because of a natural evil that you have no control over, relatively speaking. The natural evils in the world are with us in the created order, not because they're sin, but because they're a consequence of sin. Right, they're a consequence of the original decision that we made to separate ourselves from God. And when Jesus came to the end of his life, he looked upon all the evil in the world, including the natural evils that we bear, but he looked most especially upon the moral evils, the evils of which you and I do take a part. And those were the evils that he laid upon himself. Good Friday is the day wherein we have the courage to stand before the ugliest, most difficult, most horrendous sight to look at. And what's, I think, most shocking about the scene most of all is that the horror of the sight, the difficulty of the sight, the sadness of the sight is ultimately because it is a choice that God has made. God had made the choice. You see, it's a really interesting thing, especially in the account of John's gospel of the crucifixion and the passion of Jesus. It's really clear in John's account of this last moment of Jesus' life that Jesus is completely in control. And actually, if you want to understand what's really going on and why God is making this choice and how that is that comes to be, if you want to understand Good Friday, if you want to understand why we're here, we actually have to rewind to yesterday, into something that we hear every time we come to Mass, but which is maybe something you've never thought about or maybe never taken into account of. I've been praying recently with this image, which is kind of new for me to pray with, and it's simply this. On the night of the Last Supper, when Jesus gave himself to his apostles, the scriptures say this: he took the bread, broke it, and then gave it to his disciples. And he said, "What I'm giving to you is my body." We hear that every time we come to Mass, but do we think about this fact that God's choice was to break his own body for us? You know, in theology we say, right, it's our sins that crucified Jesus. It's our failings that broke his body. But he himself actually has something different to say. Jesus says, "No, I break my body. I choose this." It was in that very moment that he himself was fulfilling his own teaching that we heard, that we would hear earlier in John's gospel, John chapter 10, when Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. No one takes my life. I lay down my life." because I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it up again. And in the Last Supper, he was already beginning to do that. He took his own body and he says, "See, I break my body for you." So that when we come forward on Good Friday and we look at truly what our sins have done, we're not simply standing in front of the cross, crushed by our own failings, but lifted up by the truth that God decided already to make a way, already to make the first move, before his body was crushed by the scourging, by the crowning of thorns, by the beating he took from the Roman guards, by the beating that undoubtedly he took from the temple guards, by the beating that he took from the priests and the whole Sanhedrin, by the rejection that he suffered from the hands of the people who wanted to crucify him, but they couldn't. Only Roman law could crucify someone. They wanted to give Jesus the most excruciating death. But before any of that came to pass, Jesus says this, "I break my own body. Nobody breaks my body for me. I lay my life down. It's not taken from me." That is extraordinary. What an extraordinary act of love. You see, God in that moment was undoing what we did in the garden. What did man do in the garden? He broke himself. God didn't do it. Ultimately, Satan didn't even do it. Adam and Eve, by their own choice, they broke themselves. And so what does God do to heal us? He breaks himself. Therefore, we have great confidence that all of our sins that we struggle with, everything that we have prepared for in this Lenten season, all of our sacrifices that we bring to this day, and most especially the knowledge that we all have of our own sinfulness, our own need, all those kind of interior conversations that you and I have with ourselves every day, where we know, right, how easy is it for us to go back into our mental Rolodex and think about the judgments I place upon myself, the judgments I place upon my brothers and sisters, the recollection of all the sins of my youth, all of those thoughts where I know that, oh, I could be better, or I should be better, or if I was only like them, or if they were only like me, where I pour out the hatred of my wrath upon people in my heart because I'm not actually going to be brave enough to do it in person. Nonetheless, I can do it here. Deep down, right, we all know we're sinners. We don't really need to be told. I mean, we need to be told, but we tell ourselves that every day. Jesus comes today to you and to me and says, I see it all. And I haven't left you to that, to your own destruction. Because before you could even harm me, I already sacrificed myself. I already laid down my life. I already broke my own body so that it could be given to you so that you may have life. That's why it's Good Friday.